My fellow South Africans, over the last week, communities along parts of our eastern coast have been devastated by catastrophic flooding. On the 11th and 12th of April, parts of KwaZulu-Natal received between 200 and 400 millimeters of rain in a 24-hour period. All parts of the province were affected by the rainfall, with the entire eThekwini Metro and districts of Ilembe, Ugu, King Cetshwayo, and Mgungundlovu being most affected. Heavy rainfall and flooding have also been experienced in the Eastern Cape, particularly in the districts of Alfred Nzo, Joe Gabi, and O.R. Tambo, where roads, bridges, and houses have been extensively damaged, especially in the Port St. John's area. To date, a total of 443 people are known to have lost their lives in KwaZulu-Natal, and there's been a reported death also in the Eastern Cape as a result of the floods. Approximately 48 people are missing or unaccounted for in KwaZulu-Natal. Last week, I and a number of ministers, accompanied by Premier Sihle Zikalala and MECs, as well as the Executive Mayor Mxolisi and councillors, visited several affected families. They told us heartrending stories about children, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, grandparents, and neighbors being swept away as their homes crumbled under the pressure of the flood of waters. In one case, a family of 10 people was wiped out. There are few words of comfort that can ease the pain and the anguish and the torment of those people who have lost their loved ones. On the other side of the country, the community of Langa in Cape Town is counting the cost of a devastating fire which destroyed about 300 homes and displaced around 1,000 people. We are working with the city of Cape Town to provide shelter and relief to the affected families. Tonight, we are a nation that is united in our grief and pain. We are, however, a nation united in our determination to assist those who have lost their homes and possessions and who are in desperate need of food, water, and shelter. The rains of the last week have caused extensive damage to homes, businesses, roads, bridges, water, electricity, infrastructure, rail, and telecommunications as well. The flooding has disrupted fuel and food lines and supplies. Areas located close to rivers and waterways, particularly informal settlements, were severely affected and many dwellings were swept away. Nearly 4,000 homes have been completely destroyed and over 8,300 homes have been partially damaged in KwaZulu-Natal. It is estimated that more than 40,000 people have been displaced by these floods. This is a humanitarian disaster that calls for a massive and urgent relief effort. The lives, health, and well-being of thousands of people are still at risk. The floods have caused great economic and social damage. Many of our people have been traumatized psychologically, and they are in need of great socio-psychological help. The Port of Durban, which is one of the largest and busiest shipping terminals on the African continent, and which is vital to our country's economy, has been severely affected. Access to the port has been disrupted by extensive damage to the Bayhead Road, which links to the Durban port operations to the rest of the country. This route handles some 13,000 heavy vehicles per day. The damage caused to businesses in the area have not been fully quantified, but assessments so far suggest that the Etequini Metro accounts for nearly half of all reported damage. There has also been extensive damage to public infrastructure, including schools, health facilities, police stations, magistrates' offices, and various government buildings as well. It is estimated that over 270,000 learners have been affected by these floods. Over 600 schools have been damaged. 16 of these schools cannot be accessed due to damage to connecting roads and bridges. We are saddened by the reports that a number of learners and at least one educator have died as a result of these floods. 66 public health care facilities have been affected. Although there's been minimal disruption to health services in most affected districts, extensive work is now underway to restore basic services such as water, electricity, sanitation, and waste removal to various areas in the province. These efforts, whilst they're going on, are being hampered by damage to the main supply systems and the inaccessibility of some areas. So repair in some of these areas will take time. To ensure an effective response to these tragic events, the National Disaster Management Center last week declared the flooding as a provincial disaster. This was followed by the declaration of the Premier of KwaZulu-Natal to invoke extraordinary measures to deal with the situation. However, given the extent and impact of the floods, the designation of a provincial state of disaster is inadequate to deal with the scale of the emergency and the required reconstruction and rehabilitation measures and responses. The significance of the Port of Durban and related infrastructure for the effective operation of the country's economy means that this disaster has implications far beyond the province of KwaZulu-Natal. With the heavy rains and flooding in the Eastern Cape, and indications from the South African Weather Service that the Northwest and Free State may also be affected by bad weather, it is clear that there are other areas of the country that need emergency intervention as well. Cabinet met in a special session last night and decided to declare a national state of disaster. The Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs has been mandated to gazette the declaration of a national state of disaster. This is to ensure an effective response across all spheres of government to the extreme weather events and conditions that have occurred in several parts of the country. The primary responsibility to coordinate and manage the disaster is assigned to the national sphere of government, working closely together with provincial governments and municipalities. It enables the mobilization of more resources, capabilities, and technical expertise in providing relief, recovery, and rehabilitation to affected areas. But it further gives more meaning to our work as an integrated government, where the district development model is put fully in action, where national government, provincial government, and local government work together to address the type of challenges that we now have. We will be responding to this disaster in three phases. First, we will focus on the immediate humanitarian relief, ensuring that all affected persons are safe and that their basic needs are met. Second, we will focus on stabilization and recovery, rehousing people who have lost homes, and restoring provision of services. And thirdly, we will focus on reconstruction and rebuilding, as many areas have been destroyed and devastated, including infrastructure. This will not only involve the construction and repair of major infrastructure, it will also involve the construction of houses in suitably located areas and measures to protect the residents of these areas from such adverse weather events also in the future. Several national government departments have already been working with their provincial and local counterparts to ensure an effective response in the allocation of financial resources and technical expertise to the emergency. The South African Police Service and the South African National Defence Force have been leading search and rescue efforts with a total of 247 rescue operations to date. This includes the deployment of South African Police Service personnel, diving teams, canine units, and various vessels, helicopters, fixed-wing planes to the most affected areas. Aircraft from the South African National Defence Force have been used both for rescue and for the delivery of relief supplies such as food, water, tents, and blankets to people in inaccessible areas. I have authorized the South African National Defence Force to bring in more personnel, water storage and purification supplies, and engineering teams to assist with electricity as well as water restoration. Various government departments at national and provincial level, as well as municipalities and non-governmental organizations and businesses, are helping with the distribution of basic relief materials such as food, blankets, mattresses, clothing, chronic medication, toiletries, and cooking utensils. And many of these organizations we can be proud of. Religious and church-based organizations are helping. Non-government organizations in various parts in the townships and towns. The Gift of the Givers has also been very active and helping. I wish to applaud and thank the many individuals and organizations that have taken the initiative to provide humanitarian assistance to those most affected and most in need. This work is vital, and we must all do everything within our means to assist. I've met with the leadership of the Solidarity Fund, which, as you might recall, we set up when we were hit by COVID 2 years ago, to ask that the Solidarity Fund makes its capacity available to confront this dire emergency. The board of the Solidarity Fund has agreed to assist with humanitarian and other forms of relief in partnership with government, the private sector, and various other non-governmental and community-based organizations. The National Treasury will make an initial amount of funds available as part of our efforts to the Solidarity Fund so that they are able to implement these support measures. The Solidarity Fund has effectively managed the resources that government, the private sector, and many South Africans made available to them to manage the COVID-19 effort as well as the July 2021 unrest assistance measures. The fund will now set up a separate bank account for the flood disaster. This account can be used by South African and foreign donors who should contribute or who would like to contribute to the relief efforts. The bank account details will be made available during the course of tomorrow on the website of the Solidarity Fund. One of the most pressing challenges in the affected areas is to ensure the supply of clean water, food, and shelter. The Department of Water and Sanitation is leading efforts to restore water to areas of Etegwini that have been badly affected by damage to their infrastructure. This includes repairs to the channels supplying water from the Nagel Dam to Durban Heights, assessing and repairing damage to water treatment works, and identifying and repairing leaks. Areas without water are being supplied by water tankers, with the municipal fleet being complemented by an additional 100 tankers. Most areas that experience electricity disruptions, particularly in Etegwini, are now back to full service. The Department of Human Settlements has begun an assessment of damages to houses across the province and has determined initial requirements, financial and otherwise, for the provision of temporary accommodation, also repairs to damaged homes and the replacement of destroyed homes. An immediate task is to house those people who have been displaced by the floods. Preparations are underway to provide temporary residential units, and it is expected that construction of these temporary units should begin by the end of this week. Financial assistance through a voucher system is being made available to assist households to rebuild partially damaged houses. A national team of project managers and engineers have been deployed in the province to assess the damage and to advise on the rebuilding. The Department of Public Works and Infrastructure is identifying suitable state land that can be used for resettlement. Infrastructure South Africa is working with relevant departments in all spheres to provide technical support for the repair and rebuilding of infrastructure such as roads, bridges, and schools that have been damaged. The South African National Roads Agency is the lead agency on the extensive work that is required to repair roads in the province, starting with an immediate focus on the N2 and N3 highways. Detailed work is underway to assess and quantify the damage to roads and bridges right across the province, as well also in the Eastern Cape. To date, around 1,300 road repair projects have been identified by the agencies involved. progress has been made in restoring operations at the port of Durban, opening alternative routes for trucks to access the port terminals and clean up debris in the harbour. The Department of Small Business Development is mobilizing funds to assist small businesses that have been affected by the floods. It is going to take a massive effort, drawing on the resources and capabilities of the entire nation to recover from this disaster. As government, we will make financial resources available to meet this challenge. The Minister of Finance has said that a 1 billion rand amount is immediately available and will be approaching Parliament for the appropriation of additional resources in terms of the protocols that have to be followed according to our laws that deal with finance. I will be approaching the presiding officers of our Parliament, being the Speaker of the National Assembly and the Chairperson of the Council of Provinces, to request a joint sitting of Parliament next week to ensure that the elected representatives of the people of our country can be directly involved in oversight of the work that is needed to provide relief and to rebuild. A comprehensive assessment of the economic costs of these floods still has to be made, but it is clear to me that it will run into billions of rands for the rebuilding of infrastructure as well as loss of production. It will be critical as we undertake this work that all the resources we mobilize are used for their intended purposes and reach the intended recipients. There can be no room for corruption. There can be no room for mismanagement or fraud of any sort. Learning from the experience of the COVID-19 pandemic, we are drawing together various stakeholders to be part of an oversight structure to ensure that all funds disbursed to respond to this disaster are properly accounted for and that the state receives value for money. These stakeholders include the Office of the Auditor General, will include business representatives, religious sector, labor, community-based organization, as well as professional bodies such as engineers and accountants. Where it comes to infrastructure, participation of engineers such as architects, quantity surveyors, and those who are experts in building will help us greatly so that we do not overpay for the infrastructure rebuild and that we get really good value for the money that is going to be deployed. We are determined that there must be transparency and accountability as the projects are costed and implemented, as well as how resources are deployed right from the beginning, not after the money has either been wasted or stolen. We are grateful for the messages of support and pledges of solidarity that have been received from across the world, including from the African Union, the United Nations, and several countries through their heads of state. These floods are a tragic reminder of the increasing frequency of extreme weather conditions as a result of climate change. We need to increase our investment in climate adaptation measures to better safeguard communities against the effects of climate change. At the same time, we need to pursue our own emission reduction targets through a just transition that protects vulnerable communities and safeguards jobs. Once again, the people of South Africa are really coming together to provide solidarity, assistance, support, and comfort to those South Africans who are affected by this disaster, particularly at this time of need. In the past week, so much has been done by so many people to bring relief to those most affected. I wish to commend and thank the emergency service personnel, healthcare workers, the police and defense personnel, municipal workers, volunteers and community members, as well as our public representatives, our premiers, our MECs, our ministers and deputy ministers have been hard at work, and they've spent many hours, and some of these people have, at great risk to themselves, been helping our communities right across the length and the breadth of KwaZulu-Natal, and also a number of others have been helping in the Eastern Cape. We are deeply saddened to learn about the death over the weekend of a police diver, Sergeant Busisiwe Mjoaha, who died while conducting a search for victims in the Msunduzi River. Her dog also died in the process. We extend our deepest sympathies and condolences to her family, her friends and colleagues. We welcome the support that has been given by other provinces in our country who have provided a great deal of help and support in the form of technical expertise and other disaster assistance to KwaZulu-Natal. We wish to thank the religious community for their prayers and words of comfort over the Easter weekend services right across the country as people gathered in prayer during the Easter period. Many prayers have been offered to the people of KwaZulu-Natal. There is still so much more that needs to be done to restore homes, the lives and the livelihoods of those who have suffered greatly. Let us all work together as a united and determined nation to recover and to rebuild from this tragic disaster. We have done it before, and we are now called upon once again to demonstrate our solidarity as we did during the period, the heightened period of COVID-19. May God continue to bless our country and protect its peace, its people. I thank you and good night.